up here, and I would say they're a good-looking bunch, but I see a couple of the fellas, and so that takes care of that, so I can't say that. But anyhow, the ladies look nice this morning. But anyway, we thank them for singing for us and being here, and you also. If you will, get your red hymn book.
White
hymn book. Turn to page number 192. 192 in the white. And let's stand and sing together, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And if you're washed in the blood this morning, sing out, please.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. I'm thankful that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thankful that His cleansing made me whole and complete. And there's no water ever been on this earth that could cleanse us and make us pure as the blood of Jesus did. We're thankful that He loved us and gave us His very best. Today, as we come to the Lord in prayer, let's remember all the ones that are bereaved and brokenhearted still. Remember the Alpha Jean Lyons family. She passed away last night, so let's keep them in our prayers this morning. And today, be a praying for them. Also remember Michael Roberts and Dorothy. I believe both of them have had to go to the hospital this morning with chest pain, so let's keep them in our prayers. Also, Janice Evans is in the hospital this morning. They found some sort of mass in her side she's having a great deal of pain with, and they were doing some more tests today trying to determine what's going on with Sister Janice, so remember her in your prayers as well. And there's many right now that are sick, are going through treatments. Let's keep them in prayer. Praise that Mom don't have to have the radiation or the chemo, and just taking a hormone replacement pill there for 5 years. So that's just a short time compared to eternity. So we're glad and thankful for answered prayers. Continue to pray for her. And Grandma's eyes, Doris Wooten, they're doing better, so we're thankful for answered prayers there for her as well. So continue to pray. Remember the church. Let's remember our country. Remember our leaders. Remember all the things that's going on all across the world as we see the times when we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars and all the things that's happening and all the people that seem to be turning against God and still leaving Him out instead of turning to Him. We need to be much in prayer because it could be just any day that God says it's enough and takes His children home. And what a day that's going to be. And we're thankful for that. We're glad for John and Linda celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. So pray for John. We know that he's been a patient and loving husband for 50 years. But anyhow, we do appreciate both of them. We pick at one another a whole lot, but I appreciate John and Linda both. And keep them in your prayers. They'd have 50 more. So we're thankful. Come out and be with them this afternoon if you can and celebrate with them. So remember that. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Remember Patsy White and the Thomas Miles family. Also remember Alton Moxley and Mabel Black also has been requested prayer for them. Let's remember this in prayer. Let's remember Meg in our prayers. Let's remember these. Also remember Wesley and Megan as they got married yesterday, starting their life together. So let's lift them up in prayer as the Lord would lead them. Tracy Sheets. So let's remember this. So let's remember Chastity's mom in prayer. Anyone else? So let's remember these. Any others? Yes. Let's remember Shirley and the family there and Bob's family, all the ones that are bereaved going through the process. Anyone else? By uplifted hands. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Brad, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Because He loved me. Pray for us today.
Suffered it all, because He loved me.
Feel like they can help lead some, we would really appreciate some volunteers and for times whenever Daryl can't be here and Jamie's not here, and because it really works me a lot the leading of the singing and the preaching too. So if anybody would like to volunteer to help us out with that, we'd appreciate that. Do remember the sign-up sheet on the back table for food for the homecoming next Sunday. There's also some dishes back there on the table from some of the meals that have been left, so please pick those up. Also, some of you ladies need to check to see if you have a package from your prayer pal on the back table and pick that up also, please. So remember, this afternoon from 3 to 5 will be John and Linda's 50th wedding anniversary celebration. So remember them in your prayers. Come out and be with them at 3 o'clock if at all possible. Remember also, we have church on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. If you didn't make it this past Sunday, they did put me in as pastor, or this last Wednesday night, they did put me in as pastor again for another year, so you wasn't here, so your voice could not be heard, so don't complain. Just have to put up with it. So anyway, I appreciate it, appreciate the confidence. Continue to pray for us greatly. We appreciate it. Everyone stand to your feet. Welcome each other to the church this morning. All right, let's start making our way back to our seats. All right, we've got a thank you card. Thank you card from the Hort Souther family. It says thank you for the wonderful meal, fellowship, and care for our family. Thank you for your thoughts, prayers, and kindness during this difficult time from the family of Hort Souther. So we appreciate that and continue to pray for all of our bereaved. We have many. Let's lift them up in prayer. The Lord can bring us through those times together. So we just thank the Lord for being there for us always. Any other announcements that anyone has that I'd forgotten this morning? Remember next Sunday, our homecoming. We're looking forward to that. Singing will start around 10:15 with the Marshall Brothers, so we're looking forward to that. Then our regular service at 11. So keep all this in your prayers and come prepared to stay a while and eat and fellowship together and also eat from the table of God. So, Bridget, are you here? Where did you go? You left. And the sign-up sheet, please sign up back there and let them know what you're fixing. So we appreciate that. You remember what chord we done it in?
I don't want y'all to remember anything about me except that I love my Lord. That's all that matters. In the end, that's all that matters. One of these days, my husband's going to sing a song because we're going to have put on our tombstone, Gone Away with a Friend. That's what we're going to have put on our tombstone because there's a song. And you know what? You know, we can put on there what we've done. We can put something about us, but it don't matter. Just want everybody to know that we've gone home to be with the Lord. So y'all pray for us. We've not practiced a whole lot, but my brother's so good.
She only thinks that when she wants something.
I said please. Y'all pray for us.
Lord, I know when you saved me, you filled me with your Spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh, precious Lord, to be a light that others see, your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way. Lord, help me be more like you. Now when your life, Lord, is shining upon me, there's no hiding this wonderful glow. Family and children, my neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, all others will know. Lord, we
she's also bad to wait till the day before she wants to sing something to ask me to play it. Sometimes it's actually the day of, but anyway, I thank the Lord that He gave me an ability that I can do that, and God blessed me to have that ability, and He's given me so many more than I'm worthy of. I'm unworthy to have any talents, but God has given me so much, and I thank Him for it, and I pray for His strength and the world, the shape that it's getting in. We need strength from God to make it through. We see so much going on, so many people that are hurting. We see so many people that are fighting and turmoil that's going on. We see so many people claiming their rights and things that's not given to them by God, and they're causing so much conflict with our brothers and sisters in Israel, God's chosen people, and we see so much hurt and so much heartache and things going on, and that we should desire to be spiritual people serving God, desiring the spiritual gifts of God, first of all, finding His charity and His love, knowing how to serve God in spirit and in truth, and doing the things that are edifying unto the God and unto the church that He would be pleased with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 this morning, a lot of people look, and if you've got a doctorate behind in front of your name and you've got the paper on the wall that says you've been to school for all those years, you really should know what you're talking about. You know, and all these big diplomas and things, you should know what you're talking about if you've been to school for it. But I'm afraid some people have got educated beyond their intelligence and have left God and forgot who is in charge, and think that because of the wisdom that they've obtained. And I think sometimes in church people think because they have a special touch from God to do special things like be able to sing or teach or different things, they lift themselves up and edify themselves. But that's not what God wants us to do. With the spiritual gifts that it talks about in God's Word, with the speaking of tongues and healing and things, it's not that we should do it to lift ourselves up. And I know many people that do these things and lift themselves up and boast of how close they are with God, but God said that's not what we're supposed to do. God tells us in His Word here, when Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, that he spoke with more tongues than anybody did, but it wasn't going to do any good if nobody understood what was being said. Today, people are not understanding the Word of God because they have deaf ears. They're not wanting to hear the spiritual language that God is speaking to our hearts this morning. And it's not in an unknown tongue or a different language. Because if I was speaking Spanish right now, but a few it would understand what I was saying. If I was speaking German or French or some other foreign language and could do that and was speaking that, you couldn't understand. So it wouldn't be doing you any good unless I had somebody to interpret. And that's what the Word is going to tell us this morning concerning the gift of speaking in tongues and the different things here is biblically that it talks about it. And the things that are done when we pray in spirit, our spirit's praying to God, and when we're not able to pray, and it's praying in a language that God understands, and our mind and body and soul is pouring out our heart to God. There's times that we don't know what to pray or how to pray, and we don't understand what's going on, but the Spirit does, and is praying and making intercession for us. And we see now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Prophesy. Now, what is prophesying? Prophesying. Telling the good news. Telling the good news of God. In prophecy we look at as it was foretelling the good news of God that was coming, the things that we could see happening, to know the signs of the times that were coming. It is important today that we are prophesying from the Word of God and telling the lost and dying world about Jesus, the upcoming events that's about to take place. Any of you seen in the news where they're talking about microchipping? I think by 2016-17, by putting a chip in people's hands where they can read your blood pressure and all these things. So they're going to sell it under all this stuff, but it's going to be the mark of the beast coming into effect, and these things happening when they're perfecting what's going to take place after the church is gone. We need to be telling people, we need to know what the Word of God says about the mark of the beast. Everybody, and not everybody may know, but what's the number 666 stand for? Satan. 666. 666. That's his number. Do you think they're going to advertise it in that way? No. They're going to try to hide it, and we need to desire the gift of prophecy to tell people that there's a bad time coming and grace is going to be gone. This is not going to be a pleasant place to be in, and that hell is ramping up for its assault against mankind. Satan is working diligently to try to rob us of blessings because we don't know the Word of God enough that we can stand against him. We have to know how to use the weapon that God has given us. He's given us a full armor, but if we don't know how to use that armor, if we don't use the Word of God against Satan, we are waiting for a defeat from Satan because he knows it frontward, backwards, and sideways. He knows it well enough to know how to change one word and make it a lie and lead you down the primrose path and think that everything's fine and following the way that you believe. But we've got to follow God's Word. How are we going to follow it if we don't study it? If we don't make it part of us? How are we going to prophesy? How are we going to tell someone else about Jesus if we don't know ourselves? It's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian. You must know why you're a Christian. You must know why you follow Jesus. That you can tell others if you want to bring them into the flock, if you want to bring them into God's family, if you want to see them get saved, you have to know His Word. You need to know Jesus. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, I don't know if you've ever been involved in a church service where that took place. But the first time I heard it, it kind of took me aback. It kind of scared me when it took place. Because I didn't understand. They didn't interpret. We're going to read in God's Word what it says about that. But God's not in confusion. It also tells us that right here in His Word. I've been places where people thought, well, God doesn't love me as much as He does this other person because I can't do that. God loves us all. Our walk with Him is dependent upon us, how close we walk with Him. But God's love goes to all mankind. And He wants you to understand. He don't want you to be in confusion. He wants you to be lifted up in His Word, edified, built up, educated in God's Word. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, if I got up here and read all that in a foreign language, it wouldn't give you any comfort, would you? You would wonder what took place, what happened. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it was important that they be able to speak in other languages. And God took care of that and gave them the ability to speak that every man could understand. And God gave those that were listening the power to be able to interpret what was being said and understand God and understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified and dying for them and the Holy Spirit coming to indwell them. God took care of all that by the touch and by the touch of His hand, by the words out of His mouth, that it came to pass that they were able to understand. But they all spoke their language, they all spoke with understanding, and they were able to understand because God took care of it. We had a missionary here that was wanting me to go to the Philippines to preach a revival. God's not said go yet, and I've not went. But if I went there, I'd have to have someone that could translate in some of the places and the languages that they speak. If we go to China and we can't speak the language of Chinese, we're of none effect. If we went to Russia and couldn't speak Russian, you say, well, most of the normal world speaks English now. Really? Is that why we're changing our languages and on packaging here so people can understand? We have to adapt to speak to where we can understand. It's the same way with being a Christian and speaking to a non-Christian. We have to break it down to where they can understand about Jesus. Not make it complicated. Not speak with great words that are flattering or flows well. But just get down to the simple basic truth that Jesus loves you and died for you that you could be saved. Speak unto men to edification. You ever been anywhere and listened to a message and didn't get one thing out of it and thought you were the only one? They may have been more. When preachers have used words to preach over your head and didn't preach it where you could understand it, That's not what God wants us to do. When you get 50-cent words coming out of a 10-cent mouth, that's what it sounds like. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now what's more important? Lifting up ourselves or lifting up the church? Educating the church, edification of the church, the building up of His people, that we come closer and stronger together. Not wondering why God doesn't put on us the same gift of the Spirit as He does somebody else. But that we come together with knowledge and understanding that God has spoke about this in His Word. If it needs to be, it could happen, but it's of God. And it has to be of God, and there has to be somebody that can interpret for it to be received. Because if it's not interpreted, it can't be received. The Holy Bible, unless it was translated into a language that we could understand, we could not receive it because we don't speak in the original languages that it was written in. But God made a way that it was interpreted and put in English form that we might read it and understand it for ourselves and not depend on someone else to tell us what it says. But we should lift up the church. That's what we're here for. As church people, as the body of Christ, is to lift and strengthen each other in times of needing lifting up, in times of depression, in times of exhaustion, in times of funerals and deaths, in times of not understanding God's Word. That's what we should rely on each other for, to call on one another and not be ashamed of it. Many times we'll sit and suffer in silence, or we'll sit soaking sour, ever how you want to say it, because we don't understand and we're ashamed to ask for help. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Edifying. It would have been like when David Delapos come here, if he spoke in his language there, we wouldn't have been able to understood what he said. I'd say he probably had a hard time with our southern language, understanding some of the words that was said to him. But it's that we should understand God. When God spoke to the people in the Bible that we read about, He spoke of their understanding, that they knew His voice and they knew who it was and where it was coming from. Wouldn't it be great if we could speak all the different languages that they are in the world? There was a reason why that they are all the languages. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? When men were of one language and one mind and one consent to build a tower and to themselves a city that they could get recognition for, and God had to come down and confound the languages and scatter the people. That's why we have all the different languages they are today. God knows that man's heart is on evil continually. He tells us that in God's Word in the days of Noah. And it repented Him that He made man. But He's saying we need to do the things to edify and build up the church, to strengthen the church. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Now, you take a pipe organ, if one of those pipes get dented, it don't give off the right tone. It don't give off the right sound. It don't give off its distinct note. You tune this guitar down, and sometimes you don't even have to tune it down. It can be in tune. And sometimes it don't give the distinction of what it's supposed to sound like because of the player. Maybe their finger's not on the string right. Maybe their pick slips. Whatever it might be, it doesn't give off its distinction. If we're not speaking of God in truth where people can understand it, it's not a distinct sound. It's not consistent. It's not what the God is wanting us to tell of the good news. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? When God blows the trumpet and calls us home, when he has the trumpet to sound, it's going to be a sound that we all recognize. A time of coming up, a time of coming together, when he said, "That's enough, children, come up hither." So likewise, ye accept ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Have you ever met anybody like that that's talked to you? All the things they said, they just spoke in air because you didn't understand a word they said. I've been there. And you're sitting there wondering, what did he say? What did he say? I don't understand. What did they say? When you're trying to witness to someone, are they standing there wondering what you've said? Do you speak it in the ease of the Christian church where we all understand because we have the message and we've heard it before? People that have not been saved, if you ask them if they're all right, may think you're just wanting to know how they feel. You need to come to the point. Are you saved? Get to the point. Don't beat around the bush. Get right to the point. Speak it in a language they can understand. There are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Our voices are all different. And when we're telling the Word of God, that story has to be the same. When we tell of the love of Jesus, that needs to be consistent. His love is consistent. That he loved all mankind. And that our voices be heard in the love and admiration of God as we share the story of Jesus, as we share the story of love that God has for each and every one of us. Therefore, if we know not the meaning of the voice, it shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. We can't understand one another, then it's not going to do us a lot of good to try to have a conversation. But are we listening to God? Are we listening when he speaks? He has a voice that speaks to our heart, but is our ears open that we might receive from God? Whether it be by the preached word or by the songs that's sung, by the words that we read in God's holy word, do we receive them with thanksgiving? Do we receive God when he speaks to our heart? Or do we feel like he's speaking a foreign language to us? If you feel that he's speaking a foreign language, you need to get back in touch with God because he's not changed. It's your hearing that has grown dull. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. See, it's important that we get the whole story, not just the first part, and think that they are grand and glorious, but the second part, the interpretation thereof, the dreams and understanding that we see, as Joseph had the dream of his shock standing up and others bowing down to his, as he was the stars and in heaven and the rest bowed down to him. He had to give an interpretation, as Daniel gave an interpretation of the king's dream. Just having the first part is not complete until we have the interpretation thereof that we may understand. We have to have the understanding. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. It goes hand in hand. You've got to understand what you're singing about. You've got to understand what you're praying about, that it may be able to reach heaven. You've got to understand the things that are going on, not in confusion, not in a mess, but done orderly unto God. Else when they shout, "Blessed with the Spirit," how shall they that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest? We have to understand. We have to speak with understanding. Not that those that know will be edified, but those that are unlearned those that are not saved may hear, may be able to understand the words of God. If the night that I was saved, the preacher spoke in words that I didn't understand, my heart might not have been convicted. I might not have heard the words that needed to be spoken if he was speaking in another language and I didn't understand him. But God spoke to my heart through the preacher, through the preached word, that he convicted me, convinced me, converted me, that I could conform to him. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words of understanding with my understanding than by my voice, that I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Five words of understanding. If you've been counting what I've said today, there's probably been more five words than five words said. I pray they're with understanding. I pray they're spoken through the power of God unto understanding, that we're able to receive and know that these things do take place, but God also requires the interpretation of those languages that's spoken, that others may know and understand God and feel God's presence and not be in dismay. Five words of understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. We need to grow to understand God's Word. We start out in Sunday school at young ages a lot of times. Some's not had the same benefit. But we start out with the easier things, the milk of God's Word, that we may grow on and understand. But we're not to remain children always in our Christian walk. We are to grow and be spiritual adults with God, and grow in His understanding, grow in our understanding of God and what His purpose is for our life, and go forward with Him. Not to remain children in understanding, but to become adults with God. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be men. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when our conversation grows in the knowledge and understanding of God, we can speak as men with understanding of what God has given us to teach the world about. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Prophesying. Telling the good news that Jesus is still here, able to save, His Spirit still upon the earth, His blood is still sufficient, that grace is still here abounding and renewed for us daily, that God's love is here wanting to bring people in to be adopted, that they no longer be an orphan, that they come into the children and house of God, they come into the family of God. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? Are mad. You know, I've sat and listened to some preachers and I thought, what in the world? They're not preaching the Bible. I heard a preacher one night talk about onions and cornbread and buttermilk. Till by the time he got through, I was starved to death, spiritually and physically. We should be wanting to be gluttons of the Word of God, that we get filled up with it. Not just what the preacher may say, but what the Word of God says. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged of all. If they understand what's being said and they receive that, then it comes to their understanding, and then they're convinced of the words that's spoken of God and of the truth. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you in the truth. If people can't understand you, if people don't know what you're talking about, and you can't explain it to them, and there's no understanding, but if they can see in your heart God, if they can see in your walk of life Jesus, if they can see by the change that's took place in the conversations that you have, if they can see Jesus, then there's a difference been made, and they know the truth that's in you. They know that God lives in you, dwells in you, if you've made a difference in serving your God. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be done by two or the most three, that by course, and let one interpret. It's plain and simple what God says in His Word about it. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. That's a personal thing between them and God. If they can't interpret, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's enough to judge your conversation. That's enough to judge our words that we speak. It must line up with God. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. Let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And if we all got up here and had something to say, if we was giving a testimony and everybody tried to speak at once, it would be of none effect. We couldn't hear what the other one was saying. God's got a blessing in store for us all. God has done a lot for us all. Should we all remain silent? No, we should take our turns in giving praise to God. And as God reveals it to our heart, nudges our heart to speak, we should do so. Not all at one time, but in turn, orderly, and under the edifying of the church, Christ's body, that we may strengthen one another, that we may build up. Verse 33, I want us to read this and then we're going to close. For God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Not the author of confusion. Now there is one that is an author of confusion. His name's Satan. And he's been trying to confuse mankind from the beginning. He started in the Garden of Eden with Eve. And told her, says, oh, thou shalt not surely die. But my friends, he will try to trip you up, try to confuse you, try to make you feel less because someone else is given a talent or an ability that you desire. And friend, if you truly desire that and God wants you to be able to do that, God will give you that talent that you're able. That you're able. It's not like the time whenever I went to the eye doctor after I'd had surgery. And he was sitting there talking. We was talking about things that I could do. He said, you could swim, fly a plane, and do all these things. I said, that's funny. I couldn't before. He didn't give me the ability and the talent because he had performed eye surgery. But God has given me many talents that have replaced talents that I have lost. And God's always been there to give me above and beyond what I deserve. I desire that the church may know His Word, that the church may come closer together, that we have a closer walk each one because we can have it if we desire it. God will let you walk just as far away from Him as you want to. You get so far out there, though, He's liable to pull back on you a little bit. When things start happening, start tripping up, oh, we got to get back to church. Friend, don't walk away from God that you got to come back to Him. Walk with Him daily. Strive daily. Share your testimony that you might uplift the church, a co-worker, a friend, a family member, an enemy. Share your words that God has done for you with a lost and dying world. Prophesy to them from the Word of God what God has done in your life, that they may hear and understand and have that relationship with God that you do. Friends, strive to speak with understanding. Know the Word of God that you can speak it with understanding. To answer those that have questions, because there's many that have questions today that didn't have maybe the benefit you had of being raised in church. There's many questions. God has the answers. They're all in His Word. If we don't know it, we can't answer. Not educatedly in the Word of God. We can speak with what we think, but if we know the Word of God, we can give them the true understanding of God's Word. As I get a song ready this morning, you must be born again. You must be born again before you can desire the charity, the love that God has in store for you, before you can seek any spiritual gifts that God may be able to give you to the work and the edifying of the church and the uplifting of God's name. You must know Jesus, or all other things are of none effect. You've got to know Jesus as your Savior. You've got to be born again, is what He told Nicodemus, John chapter 3. All men must be born again if you want to go to heaven when you die. I've never met anybody, when you ask them, that would truly say they want to die and go to hell. When they get right down to the brass tacks of everything, everyone wants to go to heaven. We just got to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. You don't have to die and go to hell. That was a choice that was made when sin came into the garden. I don't want to go to hell. And ask Jesus to be my Savior so I can go to heaven to be with Him. And He's saying, friend, I'm standing at the door knocking. Will you receive me unto yourself? See, I can't get saved for you. Your mom and daddy can't get saved for you. Your children can't get saved for you. You have to get saved for you. Jesus loves you this morning. Little children that's sitting in the congregation, some down at some children's church that are innocent and have not come to the age of accountability yet, they're taken care of. But friend, if you know right from wrong and you know that you're lost, you must be born again if you want to go to heaven with those little ones. Jesus loves you, and He's giving you an opportunity right now to come to Him. Will you stand to your feet? Will you come to Jesus this morning? Will you surrender your heart? Will you admit to Him that you're lost and need Him? Friends, you need Him this morning. I need Him. I need Him every day still. But I needed Him to save me before I could start walking with Him, because I couldn't see His footsteps. But when He saved me, I can see Him. I can feel His presence. I can walk after Him. Are you walking with Him this morning? Jesus loves you. Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I know that I'm lost, but I don't want to stay lost. I want to be saved. Would you just lift your hand up high where I can see it? I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Jesus would just come into your heart and fill you up to overflowing, that you might be born again through the power of Jesus, through His blood. Friends, maybe you're here this morning and you got a prayer. It's on your heart. Just bring it to the altar. Whatever it might be, God's able. God's able. Will you come? Come surrender it to Jesus this morning. People are stepping out and coming. Will you come? Will you be obedient to the Spirit? Will you be obedient to the call? Friend, if you're lost and you didn't raise your hand, it's not closed for you. You come on up here and take me by the hand and tell me what your need is. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll show you in God's Word what you must do to be born again. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the finished work of Jesus and His salvation. That's all there is to it. Surrender to Him. Receive Him. Be blessed. Will you come? Don't hold on. Don't hold back. Don't think there'll be a better time. That's what Satan's telling you. Friends, you might not make it home today if you're here lost. What a terrible thing it would be to die knowing you had that opportunity to get saved. God's dealing with your heart. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next Wednesday. Today, today, will you come? Bill is one, it's under conviction. It's not turning loose and coming this morning. Friend, I want to give you every opportunity to surrender. Come to Him. Please, please, come. You may be seated where you are. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace and mercy, we thank You, dear Heavenly Father, that You explain to us in Your Word about the gifts, dear God, that are spiritual. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that if You sent us into a foreign land, You'd prepare us, that we'd be able to speak the language, that You'd help us to learn, dear God, that we might be able to share Your Word, that Your church might be lifted up. And dear God, we pray that as we try to speak Your Word, that it's with understanding, dear Heavenly Father, that it may be received. Dear Heavenly Father, open our minds and hearts to make it fertile ground that we receive Your Word. Dear God, for that one, maybe more that's here today, dear God, that wouldn't surrender and come, Lord, we pray that Your conviction would be so strong, dear Heavenly Father, that they couldn't leave without accepting You. God, we thank You for Your love that You bestowed upon us. We thank You for watching over us and taking care of us and blessing us to be back in Your house today. And dear God, we pray that Your words might be received, dear God, that Your church would be lifted up, edifying, and the exhortation, dear Heavenly Father, and praise to You for what You have done. Not that we've accomplished, but what You've done and what You've accomplished. God, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for this day. We thank You for these that have gathered. Lord, we pray that everything be done according to Thy will. Always put a watch care over our lips, that we never speak anything contrary to Thy word. And dear Heavenly Father, when time comes, close the fence of our teeth and the fence of our lips upon our tongue, that it may not speak anything, dear God, that would bring harm unto You, dear Heavenly Father, that all things would be done for Your glory and for Your upbuilding, dear Heavenly Father, and to uplift You, that You may draw all men unto You. God, we pray now that You go with us. Dear Heavenly Father, lead, guide, and direct our paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.